Welcome to this Portland Christian Center podcast coming to you from Portland, Oregon. This podcast continues a Christmas series titled Jesus, Joseph, and Mary with a subtitle of How the Holy Family Models Healthy Families. This is part two, which focuses on Mary, Mary, Not Contrary, and is presented by Ray Noah, lead pastor here at the center. So now let's join Ray as he begins this message.
So this morning, as we continue through the Christmas account, I'm going to ask you to read with me Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. You can listen as I read it, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And this morning, I want to talk about God's unusual choice, and this is the most unusual story. In fact, if it weren't in the Bible, I don't think we would believe it. God's unusual choice of an unwed teenager to be the mother of the Messiah. What a crazy story, but it's here, and we're going to talk about it, and what a beautiful story it is. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, here's what it says. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to Joseph, a descendant of David. Her name was Mary. The angel said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked, "Oh, how will this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is having a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." I think some of the greatest line in all of Scripture is that one right there. "For nothing is impossible with God." I want that to get into your spirit, into your thinking. So why don't you say that with me? "For nothing is impossible with God." Hang on to that. Soak up that truth. Saturate in that. And when you walk out of here today, don't forget that. For with God, whatever God is calling you to do, for with God, nothing is impossible. Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. You know, two thoughts come to mind as I reflect on Mary's story that I want to explore with you today. Two, I think, fundamental, powerful truths that I want you to consider and think about as we walk through this story. And I want you to leave with these things in your heart, in your mind, and committed to these two truths. Here's the first one. How you respond to divine interruptions in your life will determine kingdom impact through your life. Now, I think you're probably like me, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you want to have a life of impact. You want to have a life of kingdom impact, because kingdom impact is eternal. For us to have that kind of a life, how you respond to divine interruptions. Mary's life was interrupted, wouldn't you say, with this bit of news, with this plan? How you respond to divine interruptions in your life will determine kingdom impact through your life. And by the way, you will be interrupted. You will be interrupted because you belong to the divine interrupter. You belong to the great interrupter. Now the question is, how will you respond to those interruptions? That is the critical question. That is the determining factor, how you respond to those divine interruptions. I want you to notice Mary's response to this inconvenient, unconventional, to say the least, visitation in verse 38. This is the famous line. You know, Mary's fame really comes from this. After she gets this bit of news and the plan is laid out for her of what God is going to do in her and through her, she says, "I'm the Lord's servant." In other words, my life is not my own. I belong to somebody else. I am the Lord's servant, willing to do whatever He wants. May everything that you've said come true. She was interrupted, and she responded well. And then number two, one person willingly submitted to God's plan can become the pipeline of God's power to impact the world. All it takes, friends, all it takes is one person who will say yes to God when he comes knocking and interrupts their life, interrupts their plans. One person who says yes to God can become the pipeline of God's power to impact the world. Even the unlikely, even the underqualified, even people that no one else would think could amount to anything. It doesn't matter who they are. The most unlikely, underqualified, unqualified people that say yes to God, God will use to change the world. A reject shepherd boy like David. An annoying teenager with 11 torqued off siblings like Joseph. You know, four adolescent boys who were being held in captivity like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even a pregnant teen girl like Mary. Even you, perhaps. You see, that seems to be the storyline of Scripture. Isn't it amazing how many times God, and isn't it amazing how many times that God uses teenagers? We have teenagers sitting in this room today. It's amazing how many times God pulls teenagers out, interrupts their lives, and says, I'm going to use you to impact the world. Unlikely, unsuspecting, underqualified, unqualified people. That's the storyline. That's the plot of Scripture. So we're in this family series on the Holy Family. Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. And as I look out there in these different Sundays, these different messages, I suspect that I'm getting pretty much 100% agreement, close to it. I see nods. I don't see anyone going, you're all wet. I think you all agree pretty much with what we've been talking about in these different messages. But I also suspect some of you are saying, yeah, we agree with that. I agree with that, but not for my family. Now, I think what you're saying is true for everybody else, but you don't understand my family. You don't really get what I'm going through. You don't know what has happened in my family. You don't understand my marriage. You don't get how chaotic and messed up my family is. You don't understand what's happened to me or what I've done to mess up my family. This works for everybody else, but I'm not so sure that it works for me and my clan. Well, I would argue with you that Mary's story says differently. Mary's story says if it could work for her, it could work for you no matter who you are. So I want us to unpack Mary today, and I want us to discover how she responds to this divine interruption in less than ideal conditions. Her conditions were less than ideal. And how she responds to God to become the greatest conduit ever for the power of God to impact the world. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to top Mary because she gave birth to the Messiah, to the Savior of the world. So we want to learn from her life. And I want you to see how her life teaches us how we can live a Mary-like life. How we can live a Mary-like life. So I want to give you three things that I see in this text here. The first one is this. I want you to see that what really causes Mary to be such an outstanding candidate for God's power is that she listened to God readily. She listened to God readily. You know, it's interesting that if you were to go back and look at medieval times, medieval artists often portrayed the Holy Spirit's mode of impregnating Mary through not her womb, but through the ear, through her ear. Now, that sounds really weird, doesn't it? I mean, you didn't learn that in middle school biology. You heard it a different way. It's weird. I get you that. I grant you that. But when you think about it, how beautiful. How beautiful is that? That Mary's courageous faith is her receptivity to God's word. Her openness to hear God's voice. Mary was immediately, fully, continually receptive to God. I also want to, and we don't have time to explore this, but if we were to go on into the rest of the story, in fact, we heard the reading, Brooklyn read the great song of Mary that we call the Magnificat, where Mary just pours out her heart and prays to God, you would see how much of that was actually rooted in Old Testament theology. And so Mary's response to God, her receptivity, her listening to God, and then her response to that was rooted in Scripture. And I would encourage all, you know, God wants to speak. We'll talk about that in just a moment. God wants to speak to you. But for you to understand and be receptive to that, it sure helps if your life is rooted in the Bible. God wants to speak to you, young people, to teenagers. Just like I've already said, the different examples. Whether you're in high school or college, middle school, God wants to speak to you. Root your life in Scripture and you will be able to hear Him and respond to Him more clearly. If we're going to live a Mary-like life, that's where it's got to start, in being receptive to God's voice. So how do you become receptive to the voice of God? Well, I think you begin by simply asking God to make you receptive. Anything you want from God, anything you want to be for God, I think it starts with asking God, asking God. That's something that God must create in us, you see? We just aren't naturally receptive. I don't know that I can make myself receptive. I need God to do that in me. I need God's Spirit to create that in me. And so do you, I suspect, especially if you're spiritually ADD like me. I mean, I'm all over the map. You know, I'm thinking this, I'm moving here, and I need God's help. I do. I need the Spirit of God to create that receptivity in my own heart to God. Now, you'll often hear me say, and especially at prayer time when we don't have the instruments down here and we call people forward for prayer, I'll often say to you that faith requires action. Just step out and walk forward. And something happens when we act on our faith that activates the presence and the power of God. But I would also say this, that the prerequisite for spiritual action is spiritual listening. Yes, faith needs to be acted upon. But the prerequisite of that is spiritual listening. You see, in life, your action cannot make God happen. You can act till you're blue in the face. That will not make God happen. Your faith can't create the wind of the Spirit. But you can keep your sails spread, your spiritual antenna, your ears open to catch the wind of the Spirit when it blows. You don't make it happen. God makes it happen. You listen for it and you respond to it. So you begin by asking God, make me receptive. And then you practice. Here's what you can do. You practice slowing. The practice of slowing. Slow yourself down. Deliberately, intentionally, right in times where you slow yourself down throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your life, to give God a chance to speak to you. Psalm 46, verse 10, we used this last week, says, "Be still and know that I'm God." We're so busy running around, sometimes God says to us, just settle down. Calm down. Be still and know that I'm God. When you were a kid, did you ever try to catch a butterfly? Maybe that was just a little boy thing. Oh, there's some young ladies that have tried that as well. You know when you're trying to catch that butterfly, isn't the butterfly just always beyond your grasp, always out of reach? But sometimes if you just calm down, if you just stand still, the butterfly will come and light upon you. So it is with the Spirit of God. Listen to this. God is not seized, He's received. You don't seize God, you receive God who is looking for you. So intentionally slow down and listen. Listen, God will speak. God will speak if He can catch up with you, if He can find you, if He can get your attention. God is speaking. So slow down and listen. And then finally, this is so important in becoming a receptive person. Become willing to be interruptible. Be willing to be interrupted. You know, Scripture often says, if you've got ears, then listen. If you have ears, then hear. Obviously, from that, I take it, obviously, God wants to speak. You know, we serve the God who speaks. He wants to speak. The question is, are you ready to hear? Are you willing to listen? Are you open to His call upon your life? When you become interruptible, open to the unpredictable, open to the unconventional. And by definition, interruption is unconventional. It is unexpected. It is unpredictable. But when you become an interruptible person, you will start living a Mary-like life. Mary was interruptible. Mary listened readily. That's number one. And number two, she responded honestly. Mary just responded honestly to God. Notice in verse 29 that Mary was greatly troubled at the angel's words, and she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. In verse 34, she asked, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" Listen, Mary was anything but naive about this. She wasn't naive about what this assignment meant for her. She's a teenage girl. She's a teenage peasant girl, and she is engaged. She's pledged to be married to Joseph, says verse 27. Now, that pledge, or betrothal, was far more binding than our cultural engagement period. You know, people get engaged all the time, but this is far more than just being engaged. In this case, in this culture, in that time, only divorce could break that engagement or that betrothal. The time of pledge lasted 1 year. And at the end of that time period, the marriage would be completed. It was so strong, though, the period of engagement, the period of betrothal, it was so strong that had Joseph died during that time, Mary would have been his legal widow. And during that time, had either of them been unfaithful to one another, it would have been deemed adultery, punishable by stoning. More likely that Mary would have been stoned than Joseph, because the way peoples and cultures devolve from the beginning, the woman began to bear the brunt of sexual unfaithfulness, and the man typically would get off, like in some cultures today. And that probably would have been the case here. Mary would have been stoned to death. So Mary is very clear when she says, "How can this be?" Mary is very clear that to give the go-ahead to God's plan, what she's accepting is not only way beyond her theological box. It's not only way beyond her biblical understanding, but she understands that this will mean the sacrifice of a treasured possession, her sexual purity in that culture. A treasured possession. This meant to sacrifice that in the eyes of the community. It was to risk the humiliation of divorce. It was to literally put her physical life on the line to say yes to God. So knowing all of these risks, she asked, "How can this be?" You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that kind of honesty. I think, in fact, that following God's will never requires uninformed obedience of us. You know, people often talk about blind faith. I don't think the Bible calls us to blind faith. I think the Bible calls us to eyes wide open faith, that we know exactly what faith is requiring of us, and we still say yes to it. That's what's happening here with Mary. God not only invites honest inquiry of us, friends, I think he requires it of us. I think he requires us to have our eyes open to what he's calling us to do, and still to say, "Yes, God, I will do it." And in fact, I would argue that being honest with God actually honors God. The God who is big enough to handle your questions. And I would venture to guess, I would say that for some of you, and we're in a family series here, for some of you in very difficult family situations right now, your greatest step of faith would be to go to God with some tough questions. Say, "God, I know you want to fix my family, but how can this be? What is it requiring of me? God, I don't know how I can do this." And be honest with God. Talk to him about how you've messed up or how you've been messed up by your family. Get honest with God and listen, because he is ready to talk, and he will. So Mary not only readily listened, she not only responded honestly, but lastly, she obeyed willingly. She obeyed willingly. Verse 38, she says, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me just as you have said." She'll be a pregnant, unwed teen with no idea how people will respond, how her fiancé will respond to her, how her family will respond, how her friends will respond, how her community will respond. She doesn't know how they will respond. She might even face death if she says yes to God. Yet, in essence, what she says is, God, here I am. Use me. God, here I am. Use me. You know, it's said that the world's greatest prayer is, thy will be done. But unfortunately, the world's most common prayer is, my will be done. And what Mary does here in responding to God, I think, is the rarest of spiritual virtues. Not just gritty submission to what God says, but willing obedience in scorn of the consequences. She doesn't just say, okay, God, I'll do it because I have to. You're God and I'm not, so I'll do it. She says, God, yes, I will do it. No matter what the consequence, I will do it. And again, I suspect that what God is asking of some of you in relationship to your family will call for that same rare virtue of willing obedience. For you to forgive a spouse who has hurt you, to seek forgiveness of a child that you've hurt, to call on an annoying sibling and say, I love you. You matter to me. To make amends with someone who's used you, to say, you know, God, here I am. Use me to bring healing to my family, no matter what it costs me. It's on the menu, you know. It's on the menu if you're going to live a Mary-like life. And that is how God may want to interrupt your life. He has a right to do that, you know. When you accepted him as Lord, you gave him the right to help himself to you anytime he wants. And yet, that sounds ominous, yet when you come to grips with that, you discover, as Mary did, the best part of this story, that the byproduct, the best byproduct of the open, honest, and obedient life is what we find in verse 37. With God, nothing is impossible. That's what we discover. When we say yes to God, I know full well what you're calling me to do, and you say yes to that, what you find then is God enters your situation, as impossible as it might seem to you, and he says, it will be possible through me. So I want you to think about this. If God could use the life of a humble teenage girl who just readily, honestly, willingly responded to this interruption, this divine interruption, imagine what God could do through your life with you saying yes to God. Imagine what he could do. One life, your life. Imagine what he could do through you. You know, there's a guy, I love his writing, followed him for years. His name is Frederick Buechner. And he wrote, one of the books that he wrote was of Bible characters. And short stories, short interactions about Bible characters. And this is what he has to say about the angel Gabriel's interaction with Mary. He writes this. He said, Mary struck Gabriel as hardly old enough to have a child at all, let alone this child. But he had been entrusted with a message to give her, and he gave it. He told her of what the child was to be named, of who he was to be, and of something about the mystery that was to come upon her. You mustn't be afraid, Mary, he said. And as he said it, he only hoped that she wouldn't notice that beneath his great golden wings, he himself was trembling with fear to think that the whole future of creation hung on the response of this young girl. And in that book, there's a sketch of Gabriel above that narrative. And in the sketch, Gabriel is viewed from the rear. And Gabriel is standing with his hands behind his back with his fingers crossed. I like that. You know, Jesus said that the angels rejoice when even one sinner repents, which to me suggests that heaven's inhabitants are keeping a close watch on us. They're keeping tabs on us. Do you realize that you are under surveillance? All of heaven is standing on its tiptoes to see how you and I will respond to God's interruption of our lives. The whole future of the world may not hinge upon our response like it did Mary's, but certainly your future does. How you respond, your future hinges upon your response. I don't really know what God is calling you to do. Your family, your situation, I don't know for sure. But I have a sense that you know exactly what God is calling you to do, to be that one person through whom God's power can flow to impact your family. I have a feeling you know what it is. May the Lord give you the courageous faith that you might say to him, I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said. And may God use your full submission to his plan so that you could be the pipeline of his power to impact your world, to impact your family. Whether you're a young person, a middle schooler, a high schooler, a young adult, a single person, someone who wants a family, someone who once had a family and no longer does, someone that is in a messed up family, someone who is just, you know, living under the blessing of the Lord in a very healthy family, that you would say, God, whatever you want, use me to be the pipeline of your power to my family. Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this Portland Christian Center podcast featuring part of our Christmas series for 2013. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect or just visiting us here in Portland, please join us for one of our services. For more information about our church, you can find it right here on our website. That's pcctoday.com.